Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. Good thing, because I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you?
I won on a Tuesday. I'm excited.
You are in a zone.
The Tuesday funk is over.
Starting a new trend, a new streak.
I am 1-0 on the last Tuesday.
That's all that matters. Let's get started with what say you, NBA playoffs, hot and heavy. Game one tonight, Eastern Conference Finals. The Miami Heat hosting the Indiana Pacers. The line on this game, 7.5. The total around 183. Last night, we do want to recap what took place as the San Antonio Spurs knocked off the Memphis Grizzlies by 4 points. The line was 5.5 on this game. Spurs are up 2-0. People tune into this show, The Odds Couple, to hear and learn, to hear things that you're not going to hear from the talking heads at ESPN, TV, radio. I'm here to say that this series is over. What say you?
Awfully confident, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, you know, 2-0, all you did was hold serve at home. Win a road game first, and then maybe I'll agree with you. But if you hold serve and you're the home team when you get 4 games at home, yeah, I guess you're right. It could be over. But the Grizzlies, much better effort last night, and a team that plays very well at home. If the Grizzlies come back and happen to win games 3 and 4, are you still of the same mindset that it's over because the Spurs have 4 home games? Is that why it's over?
It's deja vu all over again. You asked me when the Spurs were at 1-1 against the Warriors going to Oakland if I was scared, if I was nervous, Purvis. And, right, of course, I said no, not at all.
I asked you if the series is over against the Nuggets and the Warriors, and you don't have any hair left. So
hey, that's
you're
old
one
news.
And one in your
Let's
predictions.
Let's move on. Hey, that was then. This is now.
All right.
We're talking about the Spurs taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The reason I say this series is over is because the Memphis Grizzlies, as good as they are, they have to win 4 of the next 5 games. And the fact is, the Spurs have dominated 7.5 of the 8 quarters. Now, the one exception was last night, the fourth quarter, the last 6 minutes in particular. They were up 18 points, 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. They were up 14 points in the fourth, and then they were held to 9 points. So the Spurs held to 9 points in the fourth quarter. Tony Parker, only 6 of 20 shooting. Manu Ginobili had another bad game. The Grizzlies had 19 offensive rebounds and still lost.
The referees weren't quite good enough for the Grizzlies, were they?
It was 8 against 5. How is it that the Spurs at home don't get the benefit of the calls? And what you have, the Grizzlies had 26 free throw attempts. My Spurs only had 17. But in spite of all that adversity, the Grizzlies still lost. The series is over.
Well, a huge game. Even though Tony Parker didn't shoot well, they didn't get 18 assists, which is a career high for him. And, you know, when you're a guy who's able to penetrate, and then a defender has to choose, do I stop the layup and leave my guy open for a three-point shot, or do I let a guy have a layup? I mean, you have to choose stopping the layup versus leaving the guy open for three-point range. And again, 9 made three-pointers last night for the Spurs, and some of them were huge. But again, I'm a little nervous about the fact that I let this team get back. We were up 18 at home. We weren't up 18 on the road, which we see all the time. 18 on the road, a home team can come back from 18 down at home. But when you are the home team up that many points, are you concerned at all about what you saw at the end of the game? Or are you blaming the officials for that?
Well, it's obvious. It was 8 against 5. I mean, the game's over. I mean, it's a 4-point game, 26 seconds to go in the game. It's over. Tony Allen goes for a layup. Manu Ginobili did the right thing by fouling. He didn't go for his head. He hacked his arm. The right call. And I'm going to talk about Tony Allen. I have no respect for this clown. This is the same guy who tripped Tony Parker, okay? And they just called a regular foul. Now, Manu Ginobili
does
the right
thing. This is the same guy, not to interrupt you, that last week you told me was one of your favorite players in the league. You love Tony Allen.
I absolutely did.
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 Okay. So he's
But I've lost all respect for the guy.
Now he's like an ex-wife.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I just please don't tell me I have to start paying him now, too. Please.
I think he's doing okay.
Are you sure?
But you got, and you know what? Part of the game is the theatrics of the game. We see that in every sport, trying to draw the official to give you a benefit of the call. We've seen guys not get hit with baseballs while they're batting, and they give him a base. We've seen wide receivers going down and not being interfered with, getting a call. We see it with guys not taking a charge, and they're getting a charge call when they're clearly moving. It's all about trying to get the referee to make a call in your favor. So, yeah, he was rolling on the ground as if he got shot and his head never touched the ground. But given the – hey, you know what? He got the call to help his team.
First and foremost, as much as I am anti-Tony Allen today, it really starts and stops with the NBA refs who are so ignorant and incompetent that they fell for the theatrics. It's one thing to, in the spur of the moment, say, wow, no pun intended, spur of the moment. I have to say, if you make a bad judgment, but then you go to the replay
right,
and you watch it and decide not to overrule it, it's just sickening with a capital S. His head never touched the floor.
Right.
He's carrying on. He's disrespecting the game, disrespecting the opposition, and disrespecting the refs. So I want to get back to the original point, which was when I say this series is over and you're saying, well, the Grizzlies forced overtime, but the fact of the matter is it was a four-point game, 26 seconds to go, Tony Allen getting fouled. Okay, now it would be a two-point game, and you have to foul the Spurs. So, I mean, the game
right.
is over. The only way that it would not be over is if the refs get involved, call a flagrant foul, which is two. Well, let the players decide the outcome, not the officials. So the only way that it would be in doubt is if you call a flagrant foul to where he converts both free throws and they convert the field goal. Now it's overtime and it's totally random. Anything can happen. But karma being what it is, the Spurs win going away by 4 points. Tim Duncan looked like he was about 18 years old in overtime last night.
He hit a couple of shots I've never seen Tim Duncan even try before. I'm sure his chiropractor was saying, what are you doing?
Well, he scored 6 of the 8 points in overtime, and
right,
he scored the first 6 points for the Spurs in overtime. But again, that kind of lends itself to the fact that it's a corrupt league. It really is. And if you don't believe me, read the book by Tim Donaghy, the book that the NBA did not want and tried to block it
right.
being released. All right? I've been reading excerpts from the book, and it's just amazing to me. I mean, Scott Brooks, one of the guys on the crew last night, one of Tim Donaghy's best friends,
well,
or at least when they were officiating together.
Well, I mean, a couple things. You know, 10 years ago, this flagrant 1 and 2 and 12 stuff didn't exist. It was a foul. It was just you go to the line and shoot two free throws. It was clearly a foul. Now, he did grab his arm. He did pull him down. Forget the rolling around in the theatrics afterwards. Did they not go to the monitor and look?
They did, but they're
okay.
incompetent. It's
we
for
had,
the same
we had
reason.
Major League Baseball umpires who a week ago went
right.
and watched a home run. The whole world knew it was a home run, except for the four bozos who were watching this on apparently an old Victrola from 1954 who couldn't decide that this was actually a home run. So we've seen guys make incompetent calls. Here's what they need to do. Everybody needs to do. College football or the NHL, they have the two best systems. Completely, college football, they review every play. If there's a problem, they buzz down to the bozo on the field and say, hey, we got a problem. In the NHL, every goal is reviewed by some guy in Toronto. So if you're playing in San Jose or in Miami, there's a guy in Toronto with a bucket of popcorn, his feet up, and watching every goal going, that's good, that's not good, that's good. Get the guys that are involved in the game away from making this judgment call. It's got to be completely impartial, somebody else. So at the NBA office or somewhere else, these decisions need to be made. Not the guys, Terry, turn that monitor around, let me take a look. Meanwhile, the guy's having a heart attack because he's been running up and down the floor for 47 and a half minutes trying to decide whether or not this was a flagrant foul or not. Have somebody else make that decision.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. We're live and worldwide, compliments of Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, I'm the host of The Odds Couple. I'm here Monday through Friday. Brett Grant is with me Monday through Thursday. My good buddy Anthony Padilla here each and every Friday. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Check it out. Some of the information is free. Some of the information you do have to pay for. I'm also featured on VegasInsider.com. We have 1 million views per day. Tim Donaghy, I mentioned, a colleague, a friend who now has his own sports betting site called refpicks.com. Be sure and check that out. The studio line is open at 702-221-7283. And the live chat on Vegas Video Network is up and running. You want to talk sports, sports betting, dial in 221-7283. Would love to hear from you. Now, again, the Spurs are up 2 games to none. And as I said, what's interesting here, the Memphis Grizzlies are favored to win. They'll be favored in games 3 and 4. They're favored by 4.5 points. The game is Saturday, but that helps San Antonio, the fact that they're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. The average age of the Spurs, I believe, 28, for the Grizzlies, 26. But what you have, they don't play until Saturday night, so they have 3-4 solid days off to recoup.
They're not older. They're proven.
Thank you. Finally, you're starting to listen to
you're
me.
You're like talking out of both sides of your mouth
Not at
today.
All. Not at all. The critics will say that they're old, but, you know, they keep saying that, and yet they just keep on keeping on. They've won 4 NBA championships. The most recent one, of course, was in 2007, but it's a young man's league, but it's about proven winners this time
Well, I think
year.
The one thing the Spurs do have is they have a great mix of those guys with the young guys. When you have somebody like Danny Green, and then we talk about Kawhi Leonard quite a bit, and then you throw in some other guys into that mix that are younger guys, Bonner, and see the contribution that those guys are making. And then you look at Ginobili and Parker and Duncan, who are the proven guys. And Ginobili, obviously, is not nearly what he used to be. He's now a bench player, role player. Only had 7 points yesterday. Didn't play much, only 29 minutes or so in that game. I think it's a great mix of what they have. Where you look at a team that didn't make the playoffs this year, like the Lakers, that to me were just flat-out old in that spot. So, and again, though, Tim Duncan, how many points do you have in game one?
Tim Duncan struggled. He had 6 points in game one.
He had only 11 through regulation yesterday. So if you look at the 2 games in regulation, a total of 17 points in the 2 games, they did a good job of shutting him down or at least controlling him. He made an acrobatic shot in overtime and had 6 points in overtime, but only 23 points in 2 games for him, which is that a concern to you if you're Greg Popovich at all? I know you won 2 games, but you won them at home. You're going to need better effort, I would think, or more production in Memphis.
It's a concern, but not for the Spurs. It's a concern for the Grizzlies. To have Tim Duncan not play at 100% and Manu Ginobili, 2 of their 3 studs, did not play well, and you still couldn't win in San Antonio. So, yeah, it's a concern, but not for the Spurs.
Right.
I mean, Manu is going to step up. You know Duncan is the man. You saw what he did in overtime, but the refs got involved. The reason he was not effective last night in regulation, why? Because 2 of the 4, 5, ticky-tack, kind of like saying
ticky-tack.
That. Ticky-tack fouls. So the unlike any other sport.
They didn't call the big one, which they could have. And it wouldn't, I don't think
Martin Gasol
foul.
Would have fouled out in the first quarter last night if they were calling
right.
a fair game.
But the block that Duncan had when it was 85-85 was huge, which was a block, which wasn't a foul. But a lot of times that is called a foul.
Yeah, well, the refs actually, you're telling me they actually got one play right?
Yeah, I think they
one
got
call
that one right.
Good for them. Congratulations.
Well,
the flagrant foul. We wouldn't even be
flow.
Having this conversation if it wasn't for the flagrant foul. The game was
Did
over.
Did you see the explanation from the NBA refs this morning?
No. I mean, what? It's the Keystone Cops we're talking about here. It's they're cartoon caricatures. But go ahead. Enlighten me. What did these
Magoo.
Clowns have
Ooh,
to say?
Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, Magoo.
What are they saying
no,
today?
Say, hey,
they've all got each other's backs. It's sickening.
Nothing
all,
to do with
they're
the
all
theaters.
David Stern disciples. But go ahead. I'll play along.
Clearly, the right call was made.
Oh, of course. Shocking that the league would stand behind their officials.
Said it had nothing to do with the rolling around afterwards. His arm was pulled down. He took him down. I mean, he did go. I mean, let's look at this objectively, which I think we can do.
Of course.
There was clearly a foul. Was Tony Allen going down out of the ground? Was he going head first into the ground? To me, he looked like he was going head first into the as he was going down, feet above his head. He was at an angle. He's going head down. And yes, he did get his hands in a position to defend himself. I don't think it was. No question it wasn't a flagrant one. I can see where they were thinking that it could have been a flagrant run. And yes, Tony Allen probably sold it, but he was fouled pretty hard, I thought.
No, Manu Ginobili did what you're supposed to do. He grabbed his arm. Okay, he didn't clock him. He didn't clothesline him. Neck, head, no intent. He just wanted to make sure he didn't get the flagrant foul.
You got to wrap him up.
Exactly.
You got to wrap him up.
Of course. So I mean, he put a play on the ball. He grabbed his arm, which is connected to the ball. Okay.
It's connected to your head bone, to your leg bone, to your
exactly.
knee bone.
Now you're starting to get it. Okay. So
head
I mean,
and shoulders,
you didn't even,
knees and toes. Okay. Sorry.
You didn't even have to tell me what the league was going to say because, of course, they have the officials back. But the NBA officials suck. They're an absolute joke. What say you?
Apparently nothing. No, I can't argue with you on some of the calls. But, again, I think it's when you go to the monitor and you still – somebody, I just think somebody else has to be in charge of that as opposed to the guys on the floor. They have an emotional investment of what's going on. Not that they're rooting one way or the other, but they've been in the fight. Let's have somebody who's not involved in the game be able to say
the officials have way too much control. I mean, even in the last series with the Warriors when Andrew Bogut was standing out of bounds, the game is on the line, okay? You bust ass for 6 months. The game is on the line. It's tied. 16 seconds to go. Bogut has the ball, but his size 24 shoes, his sneakers, standing on the baseline, you're out of bounds. And Popovich is saying, listen, man, you've got to review that. They said, I don't think so. So it's all subjective. It's BS.
That's the kind of stuff that drives you crazy.
Of course. And, of course, what happens? Golden State goes down, and the game goes overtime. So
that's where I think the NFL rule is of, you know, you throw out the red challenge flag, but you only get a certain number of challenges. Well, if they make more mistakes and I have to keep throwing my challenge flag out, why am I being penalized for their incompetence?
Well, that's a good point, and here's the point with – the NFL, they're not much better. I mean, you just have more Keystone Cops running around the field than you do
in the
NBA.
There's like 100 of them now, isn't
exactly,
there?
And that's still not enough because they're totally incompetent. Here's what you have. Everyone is dogging the replacement refs. I'm still trying to think, what is the difference between a real ref and a replacement ref? They're one and the same. They're both incompetent. I was the one guy at Red Rock Hotel Casino. I don't know why they called security, but I was standing up saying, bring back the replacement refs week in, week out because the refs suck. It's that simple. Look at that Monday night game, Seattle-Green Bay.
Right.
One play, one call, one time, but it cost the Packers the number two seed in the NFC. Right. Is there a difference between playing in January in San Francisco against the Niners or playing at Lambeau Field against the Niners?
Right. Well, that's why we had the regular refs come back because they couldn't. That was the replacement ref that made that call.
Thank you. Right on cue. That is wrong.
It wasn't
no,
a replacement ref?
No, that's my whole point.
That was
the replacement ref.
Aired.
Right. He made a mistake. Okay. He's human. Okay, that's right. I'm defending a replacement ref.
You
have no idea where I'm going with this because I have no idea where I'm going with this.
But it was okay.
No. The replacement ref blew the call on the field.
Right.
But the incompetent screwball.
Well, now
the
we're
eye in the sky.
Right. Now we're
not a replacement ref. He's the real review official.
Right.
But everyone put it on the replacement ref. That guy. Stevie Wonder could have overchallenged, could have overruled that play.
Right.
All right? And the replacement ref was wrong, but the eye in the sky has the authority to overrule it. And he was not a replacement replay official.
You. Right. Understood.
And he said, no, that's the right call.
Pete Carroll thought it was a great call.
Well, what you have is incompetence when it comes to these officials. And
how do you solve the problem? How does Scott Pritchard solve the problem?
I would like to see, if you're going to have replay, then use it. Use replay. It's kind of like what you see in football. It's a good old boy network. They do not want to make themselves look bad, so they'll get it wrong all the time on the field, and then they'll review it, and they don't have the cojones to actually say, you know, man up and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I'm going to overrule it. It has to be blatant that my grandmother could oversee it, could overrule it. And still, even then, it's a 50-50 prop if they're going to get it right. So the answer would be I think the officials have way too much control. So I would like to see take the thought out of it altogether. And that goes back to, I just, the NBA especially, because in football, yeah, it's a concern. Baseball, yes, it's a concern. Hockey is probably, and I was talking to Dink about this the other day, probably the one sport where the players actually decide what happens. But in the NBA, more than anything else, it's a corrupt league. At least we know wrestling is fixed. But in the NBA, with these clowns, these officials, the Keystone Cops, they're all disciples of David Stern. He's one corrupt dude.
All right.
Now, if you really want to know what I feel,
yeah, exactly.
If I really think, tune in tomorrow. You're listening to The Odds Couple on
pay-per-view version.
I've never heard you speechless.
Well, you know, I'm not an NBA monster fan like you are, so you watch many more NBA games than I do. I watched NHL. As Scott Whitney pointed out, real men watch the NFL or the NHL.
And by real men, are you talking about,
I'm talking about
housewives
me.
From Canada?
Well, that's harsh.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure. My guess
now is. Now, you're saying that Dink, your buddy who you quote each and every day on the show, is not a real man?
I am saying that in Canada, hockey is king. I am a professional sports bettor. I commend Dink because he has found a niche. And the niche is he has very little competition because not many people care about hockey. Therefore, even fewer bet it professionally. But I have the utmost respect for my buddy Dink. And I love women. I love housewives from Canada. Okay. So please don't misconstrue. I'm thinking my words were taken out of context the one time.
Yeah. No, it really comes down to Sergio Garcia.
The point here, Brett, is it's documented fact. These are not my words. Right. George Schwartz, the main man from the Gambler's Bookstore in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. told me that more money is wagered on a meaningless Game 2 football game between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs than there is Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Oh,
that's
sure
why
is.
We spend 59 minutes, well, we spend about 1 minute a day talking about hockey and 59 minutes talking about the Spurs.
We've changed sports again. We do talk a lot about the Spurs. I will have to, you know what? People in San Antonio don't talk about the Spurs as much as you do.
Have a big fat future on the Spurs.
I heard.
+250, +220, and tell me you wouldn't talk about the Spurs.
I understand.
Well, let's
I'm
talk
rooting
about
for you.
Let's talk about the. There's another game taking place tonight.
Yeah,
Eastern
I think
so. Conference. We have the Miami Heat taking on the Indiana Pacers. We're going to bring in the wheel. It's time to spin to win. This has to do with objective reality, the smart sports bettor.
What is that, a sneaker? What is that, Scott Whitney? Is that a pacer? Oh, it's a P. Oh, that's what that is. Look at that.
I refuse.
It's like an upset. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis, my left foot. What am I looking at over there? No, it's a yeah. I guess it probably is.
It's a high top.
Yeah, looks like a dirty sock.
Spin to win has to do with keeping an objective mindset because the smart better bets with their head, never their heart. Emotions cloud judgment. I'm going to spin the wheel. I'm forced to make an argument for one team. Brett has to automatically make an argument for the other team because again, before you step up to the bet window, you should be able to make an argument for both teams. Who do I have?
You have the Pacers.
Indiana Pacers plus the points. Wow, this is too easy.
Right.
I respect the Miami Heat. LeBron James, they won the NBA title a year ago, but the Indiana Pacers beat the Heat not once, not twice, three times during the course of the regular season. Never mind that they lost 17 fewer games or lost 17 more games than, say, the Miami Heat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to say the Heat, they're 45-3 in their last 48, but hey, they're in the weak ass Eastern Conference. I mean, come on. Bishop Gorman would win 30 games in that conference, in my opinion. The West, that's where it is. The Western Conference, they're locked and loaded, top heavy with talent. But I'll stay on topic one time. The Indiana Pacers plus the points. Points mean more than opinions. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. Give me the 8. I'm feeling great with the Pacers plus the points.
I'm with you. Oh, I can't be. I have to go to the Heat. Where you fight fire with fire, although firefighters use water to fight fire. I just thought I'd mention that. I get the Heat. I'm at home. They haven't been playing very well. And, you know, in Game 1, they fell asleep against the Chicago Bulls. I think that's a big lesson here today. I don't think they'll be sleeping. They lost 2 out of 3 against this particular team during the regular season. I think the Heat will be ready to rock and roll in Game 1, and 8 is a low number for a team that has won all of their playoff games except one by double digits. So I take the Heat, we lay the 8, and I feel great as well.
It seems like LeBron James for the Heat is fired up, ready to play, not real happy with comments from the Indiana Pacer coach, but I think that's a crock. I really do. I mean, come on, LeBron James, you're the man. You are the man, and yet you really have to revert to some fodder, to he said, she said crap to get yourself motivated. I mean, I had to hear from Anthony Padilla that, hey, LeBron James is focused. He's not returning calls. Just like, really? Because he shut off his cell phone, they're going to win by 10 instead of 4. I'm trying to think what the relevance is.
He's not tweeting during the game?
I guess not. So I guess he's focused.
Yeah. I'm out for my break. I'm tweeting. Hey, drinking a Gatorade on the sideline, ready to rock and roll, waiting for the second quarter to get underway. It's going to be pretty soon that actually they'll have billboards on the back of what they're actually thinking as they're going through.
You have to wonder.
I mean, this guy to the rack.
I'm all for embracing technology, but
it's
I'm starting to think that it's a bit overdone. Overkill.
Well, there's just no – everybody has to have every thought out there in the public as if somebody cares every second of what's going on in LeBron James's life. I've actually gone days and never thought of LeBron. I might be the only person around.
That's great. That's great. Well, the total for this game is around 183. The total aside for the game opened 7.5. It's been bet up to 8 points. Miami Heat hosting the Indiana Pacers. And I love teams like the Grizzlies, the Pacers, the Bulls. They bring the energy and the effort. They knock you down. They'll slow it down. They'll force you to play in mud. Really, when you don't have the talent to match up with the big boys, a la the Miami Heat, you have to do what you have to do and play to your strength. And their strength is defense and rebounding, which is somewhat the Achilles heel for the Miami Heat. They do not, as good as they are, they do have concerns rebounding the ball.
Well, I think roster, you look at the rosters of the Pacers and the Heat, and the Pacers have a huge advantage with four guys in their lineup that are 6'9 or bigger, and the Heat don't have that. So the Heat is more of a finesse team, get up and down the floor, get out and run, and then kick and fire threes, or LeBron getting to the basket. They're not a very good offensive rebounding team. When you look at their best frontline player in Chris Bosh, he's not a guy under the basket. So Roy Hibbert will have an advantage there from a defensive standpoint. The interesting thing will be how effective can Hibbert be offensively for the Pacers, and what do the Heat do? Do they force him away for the basket, where I don't think Hibbert's nearly as good, or is he able to get comfortable on the low block and provide lots of points for them? It'll be an interesting matchup in the series, how Hibbert is handled on the defensive end by the Heat. Will they force him out, or will he be able to work inside?
Well, again, Chris Bosh plays away from the basket, right. So they're going to try to bring him out. But again, I kind of am reminded of Mark Eaton, the 7'4 star center for the Utah Jazz years ago. I mean, you can stop the music, but you can't stop the Jazz.
But you always could.
But, well, not
Jerry
really.
Jerry Sloan stopped him plenty of times.
Not really. I mean, you're going to dog my friend Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. No,
wait. He's no friend. Okay. Jerry Sloan.
I'm just teasing.
Illinois product. I mean, that guy was an outstanding coach. And you're going to say, well, he didn't win any NBA championships. But I'm telling you.
Just as many as George Karl.
Well, there's a huge difference between Jerry Sloan and George Karl, which, you know, as long as you're going to bring that up, I have to touch on the fact that Vinny Del Negro, former coach of the Chicago Bulls, went to Los Angeles, was coaching the Clippers. 56 wins for the Clippers this past season, and they decided not to renew his contract. I know you posted on Facebook last night that you felt like he was wronged. 56 wins is a
surprised.
Big deal. But I look at this and I say, it doesn't matter who the coach of the Clippers is, because we both know Chris Paul is the coach of the LA Clippers, and he did not have Vinny's back. Much like I always have your back, Chris Paul, not the team player that maybe we thought he was, because he did not have his coach's back. And I think Del Negro is a scapegoat in this situation.
Well, so you sort of agree with me there. I mean, if you're a coach, you get all the criticism when the team loses. And apparently, in this case, you get none of the credit. And obviously, when you win, the credit goes to the players. I think, but in this case, you took a team that had 30 wins 2 years ago when you took over. They had 40-plus wins last year, 56 wins this year. That's nearly a 100% improvement from year one to year three. Not quite. And the coach is being shown the door. I think that smacks a little bit of lack of loyalty by management.
Well, there is no such thing in professional sports as far as loyalty. But I'll validate your point but yet respectfully disagree, only because ultimately at the end of the day, it's what you do in the postseason. Unless your name is George Karl, then you just get a free pass. We're going to give you the coach of the year because you won 150 games in the regular season, never mind that you're 0-50 in the first round of the playoffs for your lifetime. Now, you look at the Clippers, and I think objectively that Vinny Del Negro is a good coach, far from great, maybe above average, nothing great. Again, too many times you would think he would be given a pass because their star player, Blake Griffin, got hurt. They were up 2-0 against the Grizzlies, and then Griffin got hurt. So no doubt about it. I put this on Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the coach. He didn't have his coaches back. Del Negro is out. But this team in the playoffs favored to win at home. Last year against the Grizzlies, they were on the road, and they won in 7 games. This year, they lost in 6 games with home court advantage.
And their best player was hurt, or their second best player was hurt in Blake Griffin. I just, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Chris Paul's contract up? Is he a free agent?
Yes, he has the right to stay or go, but all indications are. Well, see, that's the whole point. Donald Sterling and the powers that be for the Clippers trying to appease him to keep him in L.A.
Didn't we try to do this with Dwight Howard in Orlando, and we let a good coach go in Van Gundy, who has done very well? Enough of this stuff. I don't know.
The inmates are running the asylum. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, I don't recall, you know, the star short. I don't recall Derek Jeter walking up to the Steinbrenners and going, hey, don't like the coach. Let's move on.
That's because Derek Jeter is a good leader, and good leaders lead by example.
I don't see walking up going, you know what, Tony La Russa, not a good manager. He's got to go. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Has anybody tried to get Bill Belichick? Randy Moss up to Bob Kraft. Hey, you know what? Not a big fan of Bill Belichick. Can we send him off, please, somewhere else? I don't understand why it's happening in the NBA. Why do these owners, these guys are employees, and they're out to make their money in their career. You're out for your franchise. The only thing that's a constant is the owner owns the team, and the players are whores from the standpoint of they're trying to get as much money as they possibly can in the limited time that they have to play professional basketball or professional baseball in that stretch. I mean, a football player's career is 4 years typically. A basketball player's career is longer. They're trying to get as much as they can, and the only thing that's going to happen is once Chris Paul's gone, guess what? Donald Sterling will still own the Clippers. And he should have the coach that he feels is good. We're talking about the Clippers. We're not talking about the Celtics or the Lakers or a team that's ever won anything. We're talking about the Clippers. They've got one fan, Billy Crystal. That's it.
And he was there when they were terrible, which wasn't all that long ago.
They played at the LA Sports Coliseum.
Well, I think that if I can be objective, Vinny was very questionable with his player rotations, especially late in the game. I mean, game 6, I believe it was, he's bringing in the antique Grant Hill, who has not been a factor in 10 years. And then he says, you know what? What am I doing here? Grant, go back. So, I mean, but the player rotations that he had, Turiaf was playing. It's like, why is he even on the team?
Right.
So, I mean, he was justly criticized for player rotations that made no sense.
Well, but he's a guy who's only been in the league for 5 years, and he's had 4 winning seasons or 4 years, 1 losing season. Like, I think he had a 500 year in Chicago as well, and he got booted out of Chicago. Is there not a learning curve that suddenly, hey, I could coach the Miami Heat. Do we think that Eric Spoelstra is the greatest coach ever? How hard is it to say, hey, LeBron, Dwayne, Chris, go out and play basketball. I'll sit over here.
Well, and that's exactly.
How hard is that?
Well, it's not hard. Ask Phil Jackson.
Right.
Okay. Jackson won 11 NBA championships. And it's interesting you bring up this point, Brett, because Phil Jackson would be interested. He was interested in coaching the Lakers this year because everyone thought they had a legit shot at winning the championship. But notice how now he does not want to coach. He wants to be involved with the Sacramento Kings if they go to Seattle, but he doesn't want to coach. Why? Because they have no shot of doing anything.
Right.
He's a cherry picker. And I can't fault the guy for that. Pop knows best. Greg Popovich, same way. And that's where the animosity started with David Stern and the San Antonio Spurs. They had David Robinson. He was hurt. They were one of the elite teams in the league. In 97, I believe it was, or 96, and then Robinson went down, and they totally tanked the season. Why? Because there was some stud horse from Wake Forest University by the name of Tim Duncan that was the marquee player in all of sports. He was a professional basketball player playing college ball for Wake Forest.
Right.
So then Popovich says, you know what? I'm going to get out of management. I think I want to coach. So now, the very next year, he coaches, and they had the lottery. So now you have the Twin Towers, David Robinson,
right,
the Admiral, and Tim Duncan. The rest is history. Duncan and
Robinson, yeah.
And Duncan and Popovich together have won four NBA titles, and I call the Western Conference Finals the Greg Popovich Invitational. The Spurs have been there 8 times in the past 15 years. So, again, I don't know if you can fault the coach for coaching good, sound talent, but I don't think it matters what Del Negro did. He could be a great coach. I don't know. I think he's a good coach, not great, but let's say it doesn't matter if he won. He could be the greatest coach on the planet. If Chris Paul says, I don't like him or I don't want him as my coach, guess what? He's gone.
Well, then Chris Paul, sign the contract first, then we'll discuss the other part, because Chris Paul is not committed to anything yet.
But that the Clippers are saying, listen, Chris, you didn't have your coaches back, but we have your back. We're trying to accommodate.
I'll give you an example. I had an employee who worked for me years ago. And back in the mid-2000, 2004, 2005, he came to my office and he said, I need 3 things. I want to work from home. All right. I need to make 30. He's a salesperson. I want 30% commission, and I want that person fired. That was his 3 demands.
As long as it wasn't you that he was pointing to.
I was the owner. So luckily, I'm clear.
You didn't fire yourself, did you?
I said, it's been nice knowing you. And that's just the way it was. It's been nice knowing you. I hate to see you go. You are not controlling my personnel decisions, period. I don't care how good you were. And this person was very good. And I still talk to this person to this day, and I'll never forget that conversation. This person didn't get along with another person on the staff. They were both very high achievers for my company. And I said, it's been nice having you work here. If those are your 3 demands, here's my demand. It can't happen. So if I'm Donald Sterling and Chris Paul says it's not working, I say, well, I like Vinny. Vinny's doing a great job. We went from 31s to 56 wins. I'm not saying that Vinny Del Negro is a great coach on par with the other great coaches currently or previously. I'm just looking at my franchise in the time that I've owned the Clippers. We've sucked. We've been the laughing stock of basketball. And yeah, we lost in the first round of the playoffs this year, but we got a pretty talented team. With or without Chris Paul, we still have a pretty talented team. I can make up for one player, one piece being gone. I like my coaching situation. I'm not making that change.
I don't think the Clippers have any shot without CP3. He is the anchor. He is the mainstay of this franchise today.
You're right.
Today.
He's the anchor. He's keeping them down.
Well, he is. I mean, there's a difference between being a the old adage of safety net, dragnet. And I don't think Chris Paul, unlike Dwight Howard, is a cancer on this team. But let's talk about Dwight Howard, the fact that he now, the common denominator is Dwight Howard. He caused problems in Orlando with the debacle. I'm staying. I want to be traded. I don't like my coach. Stan Van Gundy, a great coach, fired because of Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard bails on the city of Orlando anyway, goes to L.A. and consistently dogging the coaching staff, namely now, most recently, Mike D'Antoni.
And he was also dogging the players back there as well. He said, we didn't have the players in Orlando we needed to have. I didn't like the hiring of Mike D'Antoni myself. I mean, I thought he was perfect for what they did in Phoenix. It didn't work in New York. I don't think it's working with the current roster that he has here in Los Angeles to play his style of basketball. When he had a young Steve Nash and a Barbosa and a young Stoudemire, and those guys were flying up and down the floor, it was fun to watch. But he's got guys that are creaky. They need a WD-40, these guys, half of them, before they go out in the field, on the court, in Los Angeles. That's an old roster. It wasn't going to work. And I don't think Dwight Howard plays that style of basketball that's going to be conducive for him with what Mike D'Antoni likes to do. So I don't like that marriage at all.
Cleveland Cavaliers, for the second consecutive year, they won the draft lottery. Good news for them. Their future, very, very bright. Outside shot that LeBron, years from now, may find himself back in Cleveland, his old stomping ground.
Well, when you look at the draft this year, probably the number one player is Noel from Kentucky, who's coming off the ACL surgery. Is he a dynamic guy that you want to draft number one overall? Or do you trade down and out of that spot and maybe get some veteran help to help Kyrie Irving? I don't know they need another young player, especially when there's not a LeBron or a Tim Duncan or somebody like that at the top of the draft, because there's not one of those players, I don't think, this year. So it wouldn't shock me to see them move down a little bit.
Michael Jordan of the Charlotte Bobcats has gone on record as saying they're going to change their name from the Charlotte Bobcats to the Charlotte Hornets. The Bobcats, for all intent and purpose, they've been the laughingstock of the league for quite some time. Michael Jordan, great player, not so much as a manager, GM, owner. I will say I'm kind of reminded of the old political term, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
Right. Well, who would have thought that the name Hornets would be bantered about in the NBA so much? It's like it's the Lakers or something.
Right.
I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, the Celtics. No, yeah, we were the Charlotte Hornets. Now we became the New Orleans Hornets. The Hornets are now the Pelicans. What? And then now they want to go back to Charlotte. The Hornet is just flying all over the place. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He floats like a butterfly, stings like a hornet, and now he's going back to Charlotte. To me, it sounds like it's a mosquito, and they should just smack it and pick a different nickname, because Bobcat didn't work either.
You're listening to The Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper. Check me out on PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. Some of the information you have to pay for. Some of the information is free. The only thing I'll say is the most expensive advice is free advice. Also, check me out, VegasInsider.com. 1 million views per day. Sports betting website. All the plays are timestamped, documented. RefPicks.com, Tim Donaghy site. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, a colleague, a friend. Check out his site, RefPicks.com, and one of the premier handicappers on that site as well. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. Live chat up and running on Vegas Video Network. Baseball, Mike Trout, Angels. Rookie of the Year a year ago, last night, looking good, feeling good. He had a single, a double, a triple. Comes up to bat in the ninth inning, needing a home run for the cycle. Jacks it out of the park. Boom, shakalaka.
Pretty good. I don't know where to go with that. I know Jessica is a big fan of Mike Trout. So anytime we talk about Mike Trout, she turns just melts like butter.
I can't talk to her.
I know.
Because every time I talk to her, Mike Trout is hot. Yeah. Mike Trout is hot. It's like, I didn't think he had a hitting streak. No, Mike Trout is hot.
Well, he's got a hitting streak now as he hit for the cycle yesterday, his first in the big leagues. And anytime you hit for a cycle, it's pretty exciting anyway. And when you need, usually it's the triple you need, not necessarily the home run. The triple is the hardest thing to get. He had the triple already. He's got terrific speed. He needed the homer. He got the homer, and he got the cycle. And the Angels, which we gave you out yesterday, is the over. An easy 12-0 winner yesterday.
Well, they've been a very good over team. Isn't it fun when you see things before they happen and you man up, you step up, you bet it, you back up the truck and you unload? Isn't it fun? I've been on the other side of the fence more than I care. Exactly.
Beep.
But we talk about the Angels. They're pitching worst in baseball, right, yet hitting up and down the lineup 1-9. So they've been a very good over team. We talked about it yesterday, the specific numbers. And another, I mean, they shut out the opposition yesterday.
Yeah.
And the over still, it was 12-0 or something last I checked. Yeah.
Look at that pitching.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to take some time to recover. You're listening to The Odds Couple. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide simulcast on Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Las Vegas day. We would love for you to reach out to us on the show. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Would also love to hear your voice on our show through web-based voicemail. Go to our site, right-hand side, red bar, click there. In the middle of the page, green bar, hit start recording. Live chat up and running, Vegas Video Network. If you have a statement, a comment, or you want to talk sports betting, live chat up and running. If you do miss us live, still reach out to us, Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. We have a live chat question, comment.
Yeah, Jessica commented that your hair is looking rather Mike Troutish these days.
Oh, that's great. That's nice. At least just, there's one
just
positive.
Just your scalp, nothing else.
Just that. Yeah, he's in great shape, Mike Trout. I guess I'm not. I guess I have some work to do.
Round is a shape.
Well, it is. Thank you.
Or paired.
Okay, you can stop now.
Okay.
You're listening to The Odds Couple. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor, handicapper, alongside my good buddy, Brett Grant. Friendly reminder that we do broadcast the Clipper games. Oh, guess we have to wait till next year. We do broadcast the Dodger games, and right from this show, we're going to broadcast. The Dodgers are playing now. I understand they're up 4-0.
Yeah, second inning, they're up 4-0. We're going to join the game in progress when we're done. I couldn't stop the world from you today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
There's two other games in progress. The Mets lead the Reds 1-0 in the second, and the Braves lead the Twinkies 8-0 in the fifth inning.
Thank you, Mr. Sports Ticker.
There you
appreciate
go.
You being here.
We're here to inform and educate.
Where do you find frustration? I don't have to look far. Are you kidding me?
Across the counter.
You're up.
Oh, I'm up.
That was your intro
cue.
Are you kidding me?
Well, my are you kidding me is interesting because of the fact you look at the stupidity that some people still make these mistakes, and it just you scratch your head. Remember Fuzzy Zeller when Tiger won the Masters and saying, what are you going to serve for the champions dinner? And he said something stupid about basically making fun of Tiger and making a rather insensitive comment. So now the U.S. Open's coming up, and somebody asked Sergio Garcia, who's in the midst of a feud with Tiger Woods, will you invite Tiger over for dinner? And Sergio says, sure, I'll serve him fried chicken. Sergio, I like fried chicken. Can I come over? I dig fried chicken. Why are we so stupid? Now, Sergio's a Spaniard. Apparently, maybe he doesn't know what goes on in the States. This is an ongoing issue in our country all the time. So, Sergio, do me a favor. Put a sock in it. If you want to ridicule Tiger, talk about women. Talk about infidelity. Talk about something that's got nothing to do with what might be some stupid, stereotypical item of about a menu. I didn't realize Vietnamese guys liked fried chicken myself. But, Sergio, are you kidding me?
Tony Allen, are you kidding me? You're a professional grown-ass man. You're a professional basketball player, one of 330. You are elite. I had so much love and respect in my heart for Tony Allen just a week ago. One of my favorite players. I've lost all respect for the guy. He's a clown. He's a he's a cartoon, this guy. Game one, professional athlete, man-to-man, professional athlete, professional courtesy, he blatantly trips Tony Parker in the open court. Not a big deal. Just a regular foul. No big deal. That was in game one. Last night, 26 seconds to go, Spurs up 4. He's fouled hard going to the basket. Manu Ginobili did not go to his head. No intent. He just fouled him. Allen made a complete ass out of himself. Disrespected the spirit of the rule, the spirit of the game, rolling around, grabbing his head like he was clocked. He never touched his head. Nothing. The refs, being boneheads, they decided to call a flagrant foul. Two shots and the ball, overtime, random, anything can happen. Thank goodness for Tim Duncan, who scored 6 consecutive points for the San Antonio Spurs. It's called karma with a capital K. The better team won. Tony Allen, are you kidding me?
Well, the officials are the ones who fell for it and went to the monitors and didn't change the call. So they should be the ones, are you kidding me? Remember back in late September of 2010, the Yankees were playing the Rays, I think it was, and Derek Jeter squared around to bunt, and he was jumping around. Holy murder, the ball had hit him. And the replay showed the ball never touched him. In fact, it hit the butt of his bat. And Derek Jeter is holding his hand, and he's shaking his hand as if he had been hit. Ball was never anywhere near him. Guys have been faking injuries to get the referees or umpires to make a call in their favor forever. So from Tony Allen's standpoint, I don't have a problem with it. But the difference was the officials went to the monitors and looked and still didn't make the change.
I agree. I think that's probably worse that the officials were swayed. Now, Derek Jeter, I have so much respect for him. But if I'm pitching, the next time Derek Jeter comes, I'm clocking the guy. I mean, and so there is justice.
I've been watching
within.
The video just to refresh my memory. I'll show it to you after it's over.
Okay.
Because you might not remember it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
There you go.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where Brett Grant and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
My right side today, first of all, before we go to today, let me recap what happened yesterday. We gave you a little bit of a sample already. I had the Angels yesterday taking on the Seattle Mariners, took the over in that game, and I broke my 0-for-4 Tuesday streak. That was the most important thing. We got a winner chicken dinner, and I believe that's now 8-5 in my last 13 plays on the show. So ended a slight small little streak, but we got the right side of it yesterday. I'm going to go to another Major League Baseball game today. This one between the Kansas City Royals and the Houston Astros. Looking at another low total in a game involving a team at Minute Maid Park between Kansas City and Houston. The Astros are one of the best teams when it comes to the over. They have a horrible pitching staff. They give up tons of runs. The Royals come in third place, a 500 baseball team playing pretty well. In fact, they scored plenty of runs. They scored 10 runs yesterday. They scored 11 runs the day before against these same Astros. And we have a total today of 7.5 minus 110, a very low total when you consider the designated hitter in the American League. So I'm going to go over the 7.5 with the Royals and the Astros tonight, minus 110.
Before we get to my right side, I would like to recap what I had yesterday. Under 182 in the basketball game. Now you understand where this venomous nature has come from, because it fell right on the number 182. Again, I've said a million times, from a sports betting standpoint, you need to respect the odds makers. I respect the marketplace even more. Think about this, okay? One basketball game, they run up and down the court 48 minutes. Overtime, another 5 minutes, 53 minutes, and the odds makers had this. Side was 5, it fell 4. The total for the game, 182, it fell 182. So the odds makers are to be respected. But me, on this show, 11 wins, 3 losses, my last 14 plays, ATS against the spread, I played under 182. Now imagine, from 2 o'clock Las Vegas time to 6 o'clock last night, money started trickling in considerably on the under from 182, 181.5, 181, 180.5. The idea is, ideally, you want to be under 182 or over 180, 180.5. So it's nice to know you're doing something right. You want to be on the move early or against it late. But I'm annoyed with a capital A, because the under was an easy winner prior to the flagrant foul. I handicap a game for 4 quarters, not 4.5, not 5. And of course, it went overtime. You know you have a good bet when you bet the under, they play an extra 5 minutes, and you still do not lose.
Right.
Today, I'm going to look at a baseball game, the San Francisco Giants at home against the Washington Nationals. I played this game last night, minus 39 cents. Brett mentioned that it's been bet up to 50 in the islands. I see at Pinnacle, before we went on the air, it's minus 144. The Giants at home, the Nationals, just for whatever reason, don't seem to be the same team that we've been accustomed to seeing. Last night, another example, the Giants tied it up in the bottom of the ninth inning, 2 outs, 2 strikes, down to the last strike. Guy hits a game-tying triple. And then Sandoval smacked a 2-run dinger to center field with 1 out in the bottom of the 10th inning. So the Giants, solid, solid team. I like how this team plays. They have some momentum. They have home field, and I expect them to win. I'm not a big lay the lumber guy in baseball. I tend to play dogs. I tend to play totals. And a $1.39 is about as high as I'll go, and especially releasing plays on this show. But I do like the Giants at home today.
Well, the one other thing, we mentioned this yesterday. The Indians are 7-1 in their 8 games this year against gentlemen who have won the Cy Young Award. The Indians play Justin Verlander and the Tigers today, and they're at home plus about $1.33. So good value with a team that's been red hot against Cy Young Award winning pitchers.
A couple of teams that have looked pretty good with unders, 4 consecutive unders for Arizona and the Dodgers. Winning streaks, Oakland A's and the Atlanta Braves both have won 5 consecutive games. Losing streaks, the Twins have lost 7 straight games. Seattle, 5 consecutive losses, and the Washington Nationals have lost 4 straight games. This has been the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper featured on PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. Brett Grant, great to have you with us. For my buddy Brett Grant, I'm Scott Pritchard. Good luck and goodbye.